Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. Our topic for today's show is how to believe you can do what you dream of doing. We'll also be celebrating Oprah's 60th birthday, which is today. My guest for today's show is Leslie Keenan. Leslie is a dynamic presenter, teacher, coach, and writer. She's been helping people access their creativity, find the time to do what they most love, and complete their projects for over 30 years. Leslie is a writer, author, writing coach, and she also teaches classes titled, Is There a Book in You? And You Can Complete That Book. Leslie was my writing coach while I was writing the manuscript for my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love, and she also helped me complete my book. To find out more about Leslie, visit her website at www.lesliekeenan.com. That's www.lesliekeenan.com. Hello, Leslie, are you there?
I am here, Margot. Hello.
Hello, and first of all, let's say happy birthday, Oprah.
Woo-hoo! Happy birthday, Oprah. Yay.
Yeah, 60 today. Wow. You know, I love how Oprah is so honest about her age. You know, there's so many people out there that are afraid to talk about what age they are, and in a society like we have where youth is so celebrated, it's so refreshing, I think. Don't you think, Leslie, that Oprah is so open about what age she is and how she feels about it?
That's one of the main characteristics about Oprah, isn't it? About how open she is about everything that she goes through. And that's part of her integrity, I think.
It's so true. And I, as you know, I just had my 60th birthday last Christmas. So I've
been... Happy birthday, Margot!
Happy 60, yes. And I've been comparing how I felt at 50 versus 60, which is really an interesting change in the feelings. And I want to say thank you, Leslie, because you helped me so much before my 50th birthday party to feel good about turning 50 and helped encourage me even to have the party. And you've been helping me still as I was preparing for my 60th birthday. I felt really good about it because I'm doing things that I feel called to do, and that's what you help people do, Leslie, and I really, really appreciate that.
I remember you imagining what it would be like to finish your book,
mm-hmm.
to be out in the world talking about this, about mm-hmm. stuff that you love, and, you know, look, you've got your own show here. You're doing it. It's beautiful.
It's so true. In fact, that reminds me that while I was working on the book, one of the things that you reminded me is that I was going to have to talk about the book. Because originally I was thinking, I'll write the book so I can share what I've learned that's helped me love my life and help me believe things that empower me. And then I don't have to talk about it. And you reminded me that, no, authors do need to talk about their books. And so that was what inspired me to join Toastmasters originally, which has been so helpful.
Mm-hmm. I remember. And you sounded so professional when you did the lead in here. I thought you were recording. You're so smooth. So clearly you've mastered the art of talking.
Talking to people is definitely a passion, and it's something that I think we all need to practice constantly, and that's one of the things that I love about going to Toastmasters, which I'm still doing almost every week, is to go there because it's like Gold's Gym for your mind and about communication, and it helps you learn how to be a better listener, but also learn how to communicate your points well.
Mm-hmm.
So I highly recommend it for all of your writing students that are afraid of getting out there and talking about the book, because that was one of the things that kept me from wanting to complete it was the fear of getting out there and talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not the only one. I mean, a lot of people I work with, they're writers because they don't want to talk. and they get pretty grumpy when they find out that there's more to it than just writing it. It's probably always been true, but it's certainly more true today, that you have to engage people and help them figure out what it is that you're writing about. It's just another way of reaching them, I think.
Yeah, so. It's so true. And one of the things, though, that I think is important is that if you have something to say, if you feel called to write a book, I feel that it's important that you just do it. And in order to do it, though, I really believe that it helps to have someone that can help you know how to do it. And I have a friend named Dave Lent that I met in my Toastmasters group, and he created a video called The 5 Keys to Mastery. And I had told him that I was going to mention that today, but the main reason why is because the 5 keys really tie in with what you help people do and what coaches, what I also as a coach help people do. And the 5 keys are, 1, surrender to your passion. 2, practice, practice, practice. 3, get a guide. 4, visualize the outcome. 5, play the edge. And, you know, first of all, surrendering to your passion, you have to know what you feel called to do, and whether that's feeling called to write a book or to create a song or even have a child, to be a mom. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that, for me, my callings have been to be a mom, to write a book, to sing, which I've been doing, and believe it or not, this radio show is actually one of the things that I felt called to do, and it's just something that I felt I needed to do. But I think that when people are willing to surrender to their passion, which I think of as listen to their heart, listen to what they feel called to do, if they feel like they're called to write a book, then they need to do it, whether or not it ends up being a bestseller. It's just, even if I had never sold any of the books, it would still be worth doing.
A lot of the people that I work with, they know what they want to do, and they're afraid to admit it. They're afraid to own it. And that's one of the things I kind of like to work with people on, because once they get into it, then there's a momentum that keeps them going. But it's hard to admit that, you know, one of the reasons I call my classes "They're a Book in You," because I had so many different people say to me, "Oh yeah, I kind of wanted to write a book," you know, they're tentative when they find out what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I basically, almost everyone I've ever met has had a book that they wanted to do. And so acknowledging it, I think, is, I agree. It's surrendering to your passion, to me, would be acknowledging, oh yeah, I really do want to do this, and it's really important to me, whatever it is.
Right. And
then the other thing that I tend to work with people is that, you know, once they've admitted what they want to do, well, then they say, well, I can't do it because I don't have the time or I don't have the money. And neither of those things is true, of course, but that's what people tell themselves because they have such fear of what will happen when they actually are doing the thing that they love to do.
That's so true. And I have to, you know, speaking of your classes, is there a book in you and you can complete that book? I remember how I originally saw about your classes was I was at Book Passage waiting for Wayne Dyer to come to speak. And I saw the newsletter that the store, Book Passage in Corte Madera, has, and they had your classes listed. Is there a book in you and you can complete that book? And I'd always been way too afraid to even think about taking a writing class because it was just something that mattered way too much to me. I was too afraid to have somebody say, oh, forget it, you can't do it, you can't write anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what the quotes from your former students really inspired me because they said that you create a safe place for writers, a place where they can feel comfortable to write. And I don't remember the exact way the quote was, but I remember thinking, wow, you know, I think this is something that I would like to try to do. But it still took me over a month to call and sign up for the class. And definitely a feel the fear and do it anyway thing to sign up for it. But the very first night, I remember you had us all draw our inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I'm thinking, oh, God, I can't even draw that well. And I was an art major originally, you know, because my grandmother wanted me to be an art major. And so mm-hmm. I draw this little, you know, kind of mean-looking thing that's supposed to be my inner critic. And you had us put them all in a pile. And then you took them outside of the classroom. And I will always remember that. It's like we all breathed a sigh of relief going, oh, my God, our inner critics don't get to be in this class at all.
Mm. Yeah,
so
I still do that exercise. Yeah. Well, you know, I've had people who have waited and thought about taking my class for a year, and they've just been too scared, you know, to take that step. But once they do, you know, I always say in my classes that there are two things. There's fear of starting and fear of finishing. And fear of starting is fear of failure, and fear of finishing is fear of success.
Interesting.
And, if you never start it, then you can't fail.
That's so true. Yeah, that's so very, very true.
And if you never finish it, then you never have to accept the responsibility for the fact that you have and that you get to move forward with that.
Yeah, and so definitely both are things that people need to have a coach to help them with, I believe. You know, you were my very first coach that I ever had of any kind, and there are coaches for just about everything. I coach life in general in the various areas, but whatever people want to do, I think having a coach is so important because it helps them believe in themselves. It helps them get past that inner critic. And what do you have to say about it, Leslie?
About why a coach can be helpful?
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is actually just it's one way of committing. You know, when people put money down for it, then mm-hmm. they're really acknowledging how important it is. And I think just that alone is a huge step. I'm going to keep talking in terms of a book just because that's what I do so much, but
mm-hmm.
it applies to anything.
Right.
And then when you have a guide. You know, they usually know more. I mean, I have worked on over 100 books, so I just know what the process is, and it doesn't scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say, you do this first, and then you'll do that, and then you'll do that, and if you keep going, you will have a book at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and people are amazed that they don't, you know, they usually get all tangled up and think they have to be, you know, doing line editing before they have written anything. You know, it's like they don't, or they have to, so many people say, I don't know how to spell, as if that's anything important these days. Forever. So I think it's partly that too, just knowing what to do next, you know, and helping people focus on what the next step is. I know for me personally, I've used coaches also, and for me that's been invaluable to have a guide to just help you figure out what the next action is so that you can have whatever it is that you're wanting.
That's so true. And also to have somebody that you can be accountable to, that you know is going to ask you the next time you talk with them, did you do it?
Right.
And if you didn't, why didn't you do it? You know?
Well, I don't usually say, did you do it? I usually say, what happened? What happened
yeah.
this week?
Yeah.
Or how did you do?
How did this week go?
Yeah.
It's so true. It just, you know, to have someone that believes in you, that believes you can do it, that has been there and done it and knows that it can happen is just such a huge help.
Yeah. It's holding the vision. I mean, I think, you know, if you want to talk about it from a visioning perspective, it's like,
mm-hmm.
again, using the example of a writer. You know, a writer who's afraid to admit that they're a writer or that they want to write a book, and then they finally, like, they commit to a class or hire a coach or something. They're acknowledging that this is what they want, and they want it really badly. And they're sort of giving the vision to the coach or the class, that they're admitting to it, and then the class is holding it for them. Like, yes, we think you can do this, and here's what to do first. And then they can start working towards it. And then it helps, it's almost like you build the muscle yourself that you can believe that it actually can happen. You know, I know when in the first day of my class, when I tell people how many books I've worked on, you know, they kind of get like, oh, and then I hand out, you know, I pass out all the books that people that have taken my class whose books have been published, and they kind of get starry-eyed, like, oh, and a little fearful, like, oh, you mean it actually is possible? You know, I think committing to seeing the vision and committing to it and letting someone else see it. The right people, of course, you have to be very careful about who you reveal it to, because a lot of people are walking around with unhealed inner critics who bash down other people's visions. But when you pick the right people, usually people who are working on the same thing, then you can support each other and help create it.
That's so true. And that's another one of the important things about having a coach also, though, is that they're someone who wants to help you succeed. Coaches want their clients or their teams to succeed. They don't want to try and tear you down and tell you why you can't do it. They want to find out how you can work around your fears and set achievable goals. That was one of the things that you always helped me do, and I saw worked, is to set small enough goals that you could actually achieve them instead of trying to do too much each week.
Right. Remember the phrase one of my students started to use was undercommit, overachieve. So each week you make, in my classes, each week you make a commitment to what you're going to do, and I try to encourage people to keep them very, very doable and not reach too high. And be happy if you go over that, but start small. And then, you know, and if someone makes a commitment and they don't do it for the week, then it's like, okay, can we make it smaller? Can we make it more manageable, a little bit more bite-sized? You know, and you can always do that with whatever tests that need to be done for your vision. You can always, you know, cut it in half. What's the smallest thing? Because action is so important, because action pulls things towards you. When you get into the stream or the flow of making it occur is when you get traction on something. You know, and what's that quote? You know, the smallest journey begins with a single step. It can be really a small thing, but it's so important. And as you know, the time book that I wrote, I never wrote more than an hour at a time for, you know, until the very end when I was doing the editing, and I wrote for like 2 hours a day. So a lot is achievable in small chunks of time.
You are so right about that. When I first started writing the manuscript for my book, when I started your classes, I was working full-time in my husband's graphic design and photography business. I was a mom, still am a mom, but I was a mom who had a child at home that was, you know, was my huge priority, and that was what it was. And I still had this calling, this feeling that I just really wanted to write the book. Actually, he was part of what inspired me to write it. He had said during the beginning of one of my classes with you, he had said, "But Mom, I thought you were writing a book that was for me too." And originally I was going to write a book about color because of it being a passion of mine, but I started realizing I wanted to write a book that could help Alex Zander. He's going by Zander these days, but he was Alex at the time. And help him learn from what had helped me love my life and write about things that I wish I'd known before I started high school, and things I wish I'd even known before I started college, for example. So that inspired me, but I also was so busy that the idea of, I remember there was a woman in one of the writing groups that I did with you after the initial class, and she would always overcommit. In other words, she would say, remember, I don't even, you wouldn't remember who she is because you've done so many classes, but I can still picture her really well. And she would always say, oh, I'm going to show up to write for 3 hours this week. And then she'd always come back with excuses about why she didn't have time to do it, because she hadn't been specific that it was a small enough unit that she really could fit it into her schedule. And so I decided that I was going to do a commitment of I would show up to write every day for 10 minutes. And I decided for me it was going to be 7 days, not just five, just to make it a habit and to have it always be the same time right after I wrote my morning pages. And Cameron inspired us to do. In fact, it was writing my morning pages, I think, that helped me get inspired to look for a teacher to help me, a coach to help me write my book. Now that I look
it's
back
a great tool.
On Yeah. Oh, God, The Artist's Way is just such an amazing book. And it took me a while to read it to get around to reading it, because I'd heard about it and I kept thinking it was just for people that paint it or something. And it's actually more for writing than it is. But it is for all sorts of creativity.
I think it works for any creative process. It's helping you access what. That's a good place to go, too, if you're if any of the people listening are not sure what they want to be doing, what their vision is, I think doing that book would help you get clear on it.
No, I know. I love that book. I have it in hardcover right over to my left on my shelf, and it's one that I highly recommend people get in hardcover because it is such a keeper. It's not one that you want to have in softcover and have it wear out. But that book really, really was wonderful. But I decided I would show up for 10 minutes a day and do it for 7 minutes. I mean, not 7 minutes, for 10 minutes after I would do the morning pages. And then I would write it on a list and put the time and the date and how long I showed up. But whenever I could, when I had the time, I would write for longer, for 15 minutes or 30 or 45 or whatever. And I also learned pretty early on that, especially because of doing graphic design work with my husband and doing layout for books on computers, that when I tried to write on the computer, that I would start editing and playing with fonts and caring about more about how it looked than what it said. So I realized I had to write right after my morning pages. I would write the flow writing for my book. I called it flow writing. I don't know if that was a term you had or not, but
yeah, that is the term I use.
Yeah, okay, that's where I got it. The flow writing for my book in pencil. I had heard Wayne Dyer say that he always writes his books on yellow pads of paper and then somebody types them for him. So I would show up to write for as long as I could each morning and write the flow writing. And it's amazing. It seems like it's not going to get you there, and it does take a long time if you don't have a lot of time to do it. But it also helps you work on getting past those fears and helps you believe you can do it. As you said, you know, the more you do it, and you gradually start building up pages that you've written. And talking with the mm-hmm. class or with your coach, you start realizing how good it feels.
Yeah, and then the positive. Then you have a nice positive cycle. You like the feeling of it, so you want to do it some more. I want to point out that there were a couple of things about what you did that are really helpful. One is to have a habit, to do it every day for you at the same time is really very helpful. And also studies show that when you do something first thing, you're more likely to keep going with it than if you did it later in the day. So those are two good things that you did.
Plus,
when you write I have a lot of novelists who like to do it, to do a very short chunk of time, but every day, because it sort of keeps you immersed mm-hmm. in your writing, so you don't have to have this re-entry period. You know, one of the things I try to teach writers is, you know, to figure out what works for you, because everybody is different. You know, I have some people who it takes them so long to get into the material that they want a long space of time once they're there. So they want like 2 or 3 hours at a stretch, or maybe even 4.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are other people who, like I said, the smaller chunk of time, you know, and let's say a busy mom, you know, 15 minutes is something almost anybody can find.
Right.
Or 10
right,
minutes.
Right, exactly.
You know, but if you do it consistently, and then the other piece to this is that to trust that consistency over time will make a difference. I have a woman in the class, you know, I was just in my writing class, my Wednesday morning writing class, and there's a woman in there who has really struggled to be consistent with her writing, and she's been getting much more in the habit. And she's always, you know, disparaging herself and saying, oh, I only wrote 20 minutes, and I only wrote a page or 2 pages. And she just came in with a binder, and she had printed out all the stuff she had so far, and she has quite a bit of stuff because she just kept doing it every week. So, and she's starting to believe that she's going to finish this novel she's working on. So it really works.
It does. It's so true. I mean, anything that you want to do, whether it's even reading a book or writing one or any other type of goal that you want to work on that's a huge goal, if you think you don't have time, if you just break it down into the smallest unit that you can. I have a book that I'm reading right now that I've been reading just 2 pages a day because it's mm-hmm. about money. It's called Money, a Love Story, and I'm supposed to do a review for it. Mm-hmm. And it's a topic that's a tough one for me, but I've been reading it 2 pages a day, and I love the book, and I'm actually starting to look forward to doing the review for it because it is such a powerful one. But mm-hmm. it, you know, at 2 pages a day, I was able to start kind of changing and shifting my beliefs about how I feel about money. So mm-hmm. it's the same type of thing. You know, if people are willing to do some small amounts of time each day or each week or however often they can, and set realistic goals and then check in. And also one of the wonderful things, though, coaching does is you have someone to celebrate with you. You know,
right.
I remember you'd give
right.
me a gold star.
Well, the gold star, yeah, I still use those. A gold star every class, everyone gets a gold star. And if you feel like you don't deserve one, you get two, because it's much harder to show up when you don't feel like you deserve it. I wanted to bring attention to something that I think is a big deal in our culture. We have this myth of that you have to have, like, you have to go away on a writer's retreat for a week to finish your book or something, that you can't, that this, what we're talking about, these small increments over time, is actually going to produce something. We have this myth that it's very black and white thinking, that it's all or nothing. We have to go away and, you know, and leave our lives and go sit and write on a mountaintop or something in order to actually write a book. And I just don't think that's true. I mean, I know it's not true. I've done it. So have you. So,
oh, I know. I know it's not true, too. And that's also one of the things that keeps people from doing it.
Right.
You know, we're running out of time. We've only got 4 minutes left. And I just want to be able to say before we do run out of time that next week's show on Wednesday, February 5th, my guest will be another author, Michael J. Chase. And Michael is also the founder of the Kindness Center. And his latest book is titled The Radical Practice of Loving Everyone, A Four-Legged Approach to Enlightenment. And we'll be talking about, we'll be talking about how his adorable dog, Molly, helped him write this uplifting, humorous, and inspiring book. And it is. It's uplifting, it's humorous, and it's inspiring. He is just an amazing man. And it's just the perfect book to talk about next week, just before we get into the month of love and Valentine's Day. And also, I want to remind people that they can visit you online at lesliekeenan.com. That's LesLiekeenan.com. And they can find on there information about your new classes, right?
Yes, all my classes to sign up for there, and my books, and everything. Everything is there.
Do you have any new classes that are starting soon?
There'll be my You Can Complete That Book class is going to start at Book Passage next Friday.
Next Friday?
And I'll be doing, yes. And I'm currently in the middle of a time class, but I will be doing another. I haven't actually put the dates up on my website yet, but that'll be in March. I'll be starting another new beginning time class.
And
that's a teleclass that anybody can take. It's an hour. It's 6 weeks of an hour and
oh,
a half
cool.
an hour coaching session included.
You know,
yeah, I've been very excited to be able to teach in a teleclass format. For the time material, it works really well. The writing classes, everyone loves to actually meet physically in the same room.
Mm-hmm,
it's very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So I
yeah,
I do
especially
that with the
for the
class.
Classes for the writing.
Yeah.
You're right. You get a lot of energy from the other authors or other
yeah.
writers.
Yeah.
The other would-be authors someday. And, you know, that's one of the other interesting things that I found, too, is that there are writers and there's authors. I didn't realize until I had taken a writer's workshop with Hay House, that authors only... And that's one of the things that I really wanted to do, and I think the people that are in your classes really want to do, is they want to actually write the book because it's something they feel called to do, not just have it written by someone else so that
right.
they have a book.
Right. Right.
Yeah, which is a big difference. But I wanted to also say, before we run out of time, which we almost are, we have a minute left, is that your time class, to take a look at time in some really wonderful new ways. And I've written about it a little bit in my book, but people can also find out about your book on your website. And the book's called It's About Time, and it talks about time as three kinds. It was spiritual, linear, and hyperlinear, is that right?
No, linear and natural time. Hyperlinear
oh,
time
natural.
Is kind of what our culture is functioning in right now, but it's not a real thing. Yeah, and briefly, to have more time, you need to start with spiritual time and balance linear and natural, and our culture only lives in linear time and thinks the way to have more time is to go faster, and that actually makes you feel like you have less time, so it's not a good
thing. So true, and that is what made a huge difference to me. Leslie, it has been a total pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
It's been great, and thank you so much for all you've inspired me to do. I really,
and thank
really
you, Oprah.
Appreciate it. Yes, and happy birthday, Oprah. Thank you for inspiring us. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.